If you have your Bible with you, could you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9? And verse 6 is going to be our main rallying point. Do we have children here today? Okay. So, children worker, you're stuck in here listening to me. Awesome, man. I will get you a nice gift this year. So, every Christmas season, it seems like I have the challenge of trying to figure out a universe full of Christmas stuff, and I only get 3 or 4 Sundays to preach all that in. And so I think the first year I was a pastor, maybe a year or two before that when I started first time bringing sermons on Sundays in the Christmas time, I remember thinking, how in the world am I going to fill 45 minutes? I don't know how I'm going to do that. And now it's like it's the opposite. I usually get up Sunday morning. It's like, okay, God, has it changed? If not, then I'm going to start going through it. I'll delete this. I'll delete that. That verse. Okay, where's that? Okay, I got to put that in. And so I start, it comes down to, no, I can't talk for 4 hours today. Or, well, I can, but I should put a mirror here so at least one person will be listening to me. Let's just face it. Even with the best intentions, most of us, our attention span starts waning somewhere around 45 minutes. At about an hour, people are going to have to go to the bathroom, get drinks of water, and probably not come back in. But God. So today I'm going to try to bring what I believe God put on my heart this week. And I just want to deposit this word with you. Wonder. I know most of the time we use the word wonder for like, well, I wonder how this works, or stupid cell phone. I wonder what's wrong with it now. That's usually how I use the word wonder most of the year. But right now, as we're in the Christ season, I want to try to stir our hearts with wonder. And just wonder how all this fits. How does this fit? And this verse, this is why I picked this verse today to launch off like basically my next 3 Sundays of talking about Christmas. And Isaiah 9 verse 6 has so many dichotomies in it. And what I mean by that, it's like almost polar opposite bookends, or like examples that make you think this direction and that direction at the same time, or look down and look up at the exact same time, or think tiny and ginormous all at the same time. And it's all talking about Jesus. And at the end of the day, I hope that you have to wonder about Jesus in your life and who Jesus is, and just this amazing story, the gospel story that starts on Christmas morning. So Isaiah 9 verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." And I love how it starts out. Like, a few of these are descriptions of who Jesus is. This is just one verse. It's amazing. You could do a 6-week, 8-week series on just this one verse. It's so chock-a-block full. But it starts out with some descriptions, and then the second or the last 2/3 of the verse is all about his names. So it starts out with this description: "For unto us a child's born, and unto us a son is given." Because the baby in the manger is this child that was born to us. But at the exact same time, there's a God in heaven that gave his son to us. And any of you that are parents in here or grandparents, can you imagine on the day your baby's born, instead of putting it into the natal care and all that, you take and give it to strangers in a third world country and say, go for it? Huh? I mean, God did more than that. We think that Joseph and Mary were great parents. They probably were. They were probably maybe some of the best parents that ever walked the planet. But think of God in heaven giving his son Jesus, who is completely perfect in heaven, God Almighty, which we're going to get to in a little while from here, and Jesus self-limiting himself to only be able to live and express himself in human ways. So he comes as a baby who can't even change his own diaper, who's the same person that formerly helped create the universe. He now has to cry when he's hungry. Wait, what? Oh, and God knows everything. God's been watching all this, has been watching his creation. God knows how great people can be, and he knows how low we can sink. And God still trusted us, our representative were Joseph and Mary. He still trusted us with his son, this baby that was born in the manger. What? God Almighty, the Son of God Almighty, comes and is a child born to us. Can it get any bigger? Can those bookends get spread apart any farther than that? This humble thing, Isaiah says, for unto us a child's born, unto us a son is given. Wow. So on this side of it, we saw a baby. On that side of heaven, they saw the Son. Imagine what the angels were thinking. The angels didn't have the whole picture yet. They had to actually wait and see what God did, kind of in faith. And they watched Jesus, the co-creator of everything, be humbled into a baby that has to cry to get fed, has to cry to get burped. You know the angels are like, man, God, you're amazing. I'm not exactly positively sure how this is going to wrap up, but you're amazing. And to the extent, the extreme that you're going as a little baby, this is going to have to be absolutely crazy wonderful when you wrap this thing up. I'll bet that's what the angels were thinking when they saw this little baby in the manger. The next thing says, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Do you know that that's actually talking about us? Have you ever thought about this? You know, Jesus is the head of the church, and we are his body. And so if the authorities right here, here's the head and here's the authority, he's talking about us. Isaiah says the authority, the outworking power of God on planet Earth will be through you guys, the faith community, the church. Whew. In Matthew 28, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Now go and make disciples. So the government of God, the authority of God, will be expressed on planet Earth through us, disciples making disciples. So even Isaiah, as he starts talking about a description of Jesus and names of Jesus, even in this, Isaiah's saying, hey, you guys, do you know that Isaiah is actually called the evangelist of the Old Testament? That's who Isaiah is called. That's why John the Baptist said he had Elijah. Elijah is the evangelist, but Isaiah prophesied about all those things. And so when he says that the government will be upon his shoulders, he's literally saying the Christmas story is still going to be about evangelism. Disciples making disciples. Sometimes we think about the authority of God as making sure we make a difference between holiness and sin and some of these other things. The greatest expression of the gospel of Jesus Christ is converting a soul in faith. That's the greatest expression in Jesus Christ. So when Isaiah says that you guys are going to be the authority expressed on earth, the authority of him will be on his shoulders, talking about us. We're the body that the head of Jesus Christ is above. You know another thing that jumps to my mind? And maybe it's because I'm military, ex-military, but whether you're a private first class, the only person this wouldn't go for is just a regular flat buck private. But everybody above a buck private, that would be a private first class, all the way up, all the different ranks, all the way up till you hit five-star general. Do you know how much authority they have, whether it's a private first class or a captain or a major? The authority's on their shoulders. So it's either here on the collar or it's right here on the shoulder. And so when he says the government will be upon his shoulder, he's talking about us, that we've actually been given some rank. All of us have different ranks in the body of Christ. And as we fulfill our purposes with that authority, we will see the kingdom of Jesus Christ expressed on planet Earth. That's through the local church. And it's only through the local church. All these pseudo-church organizations that are do-gooders and do a lot of good things but are not making disciples, this is not that. Only if you're expressing discipleship and bringing people to the faith of Jesus Christ, are you the body of Christ? I know some people go, no, that's baloney because I know they do it in Jesus' name. That's fine. You can do a lot of nice things in Jesus' name. But if you're not actually, your goal isn't to convert people for salvation and bring them into the kingdom of God, that's not the body of Christ. Right? I mean, let's just say it what it is. So at Christmas time, I know at Easter we talk about a lot of resurrection, but Christmas is where the resurrection started. Without Christmas, you never have Easter. You never have Resurrection Sunday. So when Isaiah says, "For unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder," in between descriptions of him, and then we're going to get these awesome names of him, right smack dab in the middle of that is us. In the Christmas season, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I have authority and you have authority to go out and tell people about all that Jesus is. That's the power we have right now. Amen? All right. So, and his name will be called. It's like, okay, let's, and his name will be called. And now we'll start going through some of these names, which, wow, that's about all I can say. The name Wonderful, which is full of wonder, it means to be awestruck. And sometimes at Christmas, if you're anything like me, I'm about 3 or 4 times busier than I usually am. And so, especially weekends, I'll bet all of our weekends are already spoken for the rest of this month. And it's only, the 5th. Right? That's just how it is at the holiday season. It's all good stuff, but boy, are we busy. Oh, and by the way, all that stuff that we're going to have to go to on those weekends, you're going to need presents. So for every one of those things you have to go do, you have to go shopping first. And then you get all the shopping out of the way. But before you go, you have to wrap all that stuff. Okay, awesome. Oh, and do we... Oh, got a dish to pass. Back to the store. Forgot to get that. So you had to get the dish to pass so you can cook something while you're wrapping stuff. Wow, when are we going? Well, tonight we have this other thing. What do you mean tonight? I didn't even know... Am I the only one that has that in the holiday season? And so in the midst of all this... For me, it can turn into a checklist. These are things I have to do today. Tomorrow I have to do these things. And don't forget about Friday and then Saturday and Sunday and da-da-da-da. So I hold on a second. Christmas is about wonderful. Full of wonder. How this loving God would love us so much that he would send his only begotten son. Whew. The great thing about focusing on Jesus Christ and his first name that Isaiah says, he'll be called Wonderful. If we can focus on that, it drills down through all this other stuff. It drills down through all the other peripherals, which are great. I love them. I do. I love the parties. I love the presents. I love all the glitz, the glamour, the decoration. I love all that stuff. But not at the expense of the wonder of Jesus Christ. Our Savior is wonderful. If we could understand everything about Jesus, there'd be nothing left to give us wonder about Jesus. I'll bet if you're like me and you've tried to share Jesus Christ with people in your family or coworkers or friends, they ask you a question that you don't have the answer for. And they might even ask you questions that are kind of like we find in this verse. Well, how in the world could he be a baby in the manger and be the Son of God? Come on. Well, it's kind of shepherds and three kings and this main. Well, he was in heaven before God ever. I don't know. I'm not smart enough, and I don't have big enough vocabulary to actually lay it down so you can understand the wonderfulness of the birth of Jesus Christ. And isn't that great? I don't want to have a God I can explain. Because then that means he's my equal. If we could understand everything about Jesus, there'd be nothing to give us wonder and awe of a Savior born of a virgin. Now wait, hold on a second. Stop right there. Explain that. A virgin had a... Yep. You just got to sit back and go, that's amazing. Because God didn't have to go through it that way. He's God Almighty. He could have done a few other things. But God had his son born of a virgin. Whew. Divinity putting on humanity. Did you ever think of that? God Almighty, when the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and Jesus was deposited into Mary, he was pure divinity. And then he put on humanity inside her womb. Divinity putting on humanity. Listen. The Creator appearing as creature. He flipped the switch. He was always the creator of every single thing. And then he became a creature, part of the creation. Still divinity. Wait, what? The beauty of keeping the wonder in Christmas, the beauty of being full of wonder, wonderful, is instead of a religion made with man-made rules that claims human understanding, we believe and kneel down before this wonder of all ages, so that just like the Magi that came from foreign land, far, far away, and came and offered the best they had gold, they had frankincense, they had myrrh, because we lay hold of Jesus by faith, we can be full of wonder, and we can take this dichotomy of these extreme things in this one verse, and we go, Lord, you blow my mind, I love you. Lord, I don't have some blind religion where I'm just trying not to do these things and trying to do those things so that people like me will like me. God, I just want to bow down and give you the best I got, the best of all my life. I just give you anything of value inside and out me. That's yours, God, because I'm just struck with awe and wonder of you. And Christmas morning is wonderful. Isn't that awesome? Wonder-filled. To everyone who humbly and gratefully accepts Christmas for what its name implies, the wonder of wonders is accomplished. And they're assured that this miracle will bring them eternal life. The wonder and awe of heaven is birthed inside us through this amazing thing called born again. You can't get the wonder of Christmas unless you're filled with the wonder of Christmas. Everything flipped for me, just like this: a child is born, a son is given. Everything flipped for me when I got born again. Christmas that used to only be drudgery and extra work and extra cost, and I really disliked most of it, turned into the celebration of the most wonder-filled thing in all eternity. And it doesn't start under the tree. It doesn't start at church or worship. It starts in my heart. And then when I read this Christmas story, it's pointing to the empty cross of Jesus Christ who saved me and washed me of all my sins. It's amazing. It's glorious and it's wonder-filled. So after he says, this is a description of Jesus, and he goes into his names, that's why he starts. Isaiah starts out with wonderful. Because in this, you have the wonder of wonders is accomplished, and every single one of us that's born again through Jesus Christ, each one of us is assured of this miracle, the working love that's announced in the birth of this child and our salvation. It's wrapped up together. And again, it's like, I just have to wonder about that some more because I can't completely figure it out. Here's the glorious wonder of this wonderful child. No sin is too great. No offense is too vile, no wrong is too oppressive that it cannot be freely and completely removed for all time by his priceless love. I'm just going to say that again. There's no sin too great, there's no offense too vile, and no wrong too oppressive that it cannot be freely and completely removed for all time by his priceless love. So, when you're thinking about presents and when it's Christmas morning, you start opening your presents or at parties and you're opening presents, think about this. Think about the presents that we've opened from Jesus Christ that release as we rip off the packaging, as we take off the Christmas paper off of that, the bows, we take that junk off, the wonder and awe of Jesus Christ as he took all our sins off of us, as he shredded the garbage that was our life choices and the totality of the mess we'd made of our lives, and then we met Jesus Christ, and he shreds all that stuff, peels it all off us. That's the wonder and awe of Jesus Christ and his forgiveness. So, after wonderful, he says he's the counselor. Jesus is the greatest counselor that was ever on this planet. Even now, the Holy Spirit is our counselor inside us, the Spirit of Christ working in us. And you know, the counselor always tells you what you need. Good counselors will always tell you what you need, not just what you want to hear, right? Anybody ever been struggling in their faith and you go and talk to somebody and you're kind of down in the dumps and you're kind of struggling and you're hoping that they'll just go, oh, you're okay. Hey, I love you. Things are going to work out. And instead they go, dude, you need to repent. You got a horrible attitude and you need to repent. You need to get right with God. Give him your whole heart. Let's get a fresh start. And let's get in the word and let's start having some faith. Okay. In the beginning, I'm like, no, I wanted a hug. But then you walk out of there and you do some of this stuff, and that day or the next day, you're like, man, I feel free again. I got the joy of the Lord again. Hallelujah. A good counselor will tell you what you need to hear. And Jesus is the best counselor ever. Ever, 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 ever. The best counselor of all time. No equals, no peers. Do you know what Jesus always tells everybody that asks him, what should I do? You guys all know it. I'll just remind you of it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then whatever else you're worried about will be added unto you. That's what he says. He says, all things shall be added, which I'm translating into everything else. But Jesus always says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all this other stuff will follow right on through. Jesus tells, remove the barrier that separates you from God and that keeps you away from the inner happiness or true joy, which alone makes life worth living. Because I'll tell you, before Jesus, I had no joy. And most of the time, I was angry and depressed. Since I've had the Lord, I've had some mountaintop experience. I've had some valleys. When I'm in the valley, I'm usually not sensing the presence of God. I don't feel real close to God. I'm not excited about getting the word or praying or talking to people that are excited about the Lord. That's why it's a valley. It's a low spot. But I can tell you, when I listen to my counselor, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost inside me, and I go, you know what? Forget all this stuff that's bummed me out. Forget about, I don't know how all this is going to work out. I don't know and I don't care. Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm seeking you first. Your kingdom, your righteousness, and everything else, Lord, is second, distant second. But I want you, man, boom. Oh, here comes some wonder. I'm starting to get filled back up with that wonder of Jesus Christ and the whole, this virgin birth and the Christmas story and then Resurrection Sunday and God inside me and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. And we're off and running again because I listened to my counselor. How can I get right with God? Well, this great and wonderful counselor that he is the Christ tells me, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. All who believe in him comes to that light. That simple as that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and then run to Jesus because he's the way. He's the truth and he's the life. Jesus, who was declared by God to be God, the counselor, back in the totality of this verse, this amazing God who can live in me and live in heaven, and he was God manifest in the flesh. I keep coming back around to this thing. So the baby in the manger in swaddling clothes, which is just another name for ancient diapers, this helpless baby in diapers is the same God who lives inside me and shapes my life inside and out, who gives me wonder and awe and joy. What won't he do for me? If he'll wear diapers, what won't he do for me? Wow. Do we realize that God became man, that he lived and walked and had his being right here on earth in the closest contact with sin-filled men and women? Because sometimes in the wonder and awe of the Christmas story and the resurrection, the amazing things about Jesus, we can forget how simple he was in his gospel life. He didn't just pick good. I'm just going to hang around John the Baptist. He's really radical. He's got almost no sin in his life. I'll hang around with him because he knows scripture left, right, and center. And that isn't it. He hung around with the worst of the worst. He hung around with people like you and me. And he didn't just stand up here and preach. He was breaking bread with people like us. He was hanging out with people like us, walking days on end with people like us. That's this wonderful counselor who can now give us advice because he hung out with people like us. If he didn't just lean on his godness to give us a perfect answer every time, He could lean on the wisdom he had from a lifetime of living around sinners and knowing what worked and what didn't work. He was the Word that became flesh. He could look at any one of us and go, okay, Paul, I can tell you where you're not living Scripture. Hey, Pastor Mike, I can tell you where you're breaking Scripture, where you're not believing Scripture. This is a Scripture. This is how you're living. Make those match up. You'll be full of joy. He could tell all of us that without even slipping into his God role. Just being a perfect, sinless man, that was the Word that became flesh. Do we realize that the think of this priceless Christmas gift of God's grace, which is a simple word. We sang it many times today. Thank you for picking those songs. Kyle, you did great. You knocked it out of the park with those. One simple word, Emmanuel. Now, you'll see that on TV commercials. You'll hear it on radio. It's in all kinds of songs. It's on signs. It's everywhere. Christmas cards. You'll see Emmanuel a dozen times this week. Do the people that are using that word and putting it up in their at Walmart or Myers or television show, do they realize that one word means God with us? Which blows every man-made religion out of the water. None of the fake religions with their fake gods ever claim that God is with you. That for them is so crazy they won't even lie about it. We get to sing about it. Emmanuel, God with Mike Young, God with you. This counselor finishes off with John 14:1. We're going to get into a little bit more of John chapter 14 a little bit. But I love this verse, how the chapter starts. This is what Jesus says as our counselor. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be stirred up by all the nonsense around us, mostly by people that don't know God, don't believe in Christmas or Easter. And they're the ones that have the loudest voice that's repeated from morning till night. We're bombarded with that stuff, and if we're not careful, it'll agitate our heart until it's boiling with emotions. Jesus says, don't let your heart boil with all that mess. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Whew. So we go from the child and the son and this wonderful counselor. Then what about everlasting Father? Have you guys ever wondered how Jesus, the Son of the Father, could get called the Father? I've wondered. I'll be honest. I've wondered about it. Jesus is the King of Kings. Jesus is the absolute King of all kings. He's the greatest king that ever lived. He's the only perfect king that ever lived. Period. He is the King of Kings. In Jewish culture and in Jewish history, the Messiah was promised to be a descendant of David, King David. And so the son, the descendant of David all the way down through, would end up being a king himself. In their culture and in their history, the king was responsible for all the people. So the care of all the people came from the king. As they looked at it, the king was the ultimate father in that area. Many times, King David was considered Father David, as all of his sons and his grandsons and that the descendants would look at the king as a father, either straight on or a father figure for him. So in this, as being the ultimate provider of our food, our provision, our protection, our peace, our joy, everything that we ever need at any time, Jesus is the everlasting Father in that role. Some of you might be thinking, yeah, but he's still the Son. I'll explain it to you. Wonder and awe. Even though I've searched this out, I gave you the best answer I can give you, my little brain is still struggling with some of this. Because in my mathematical, logical brain, there's only one Father and then there's one Son. But when Isaiah says he's the everlasting Father, then I just got to go, okay, that's true. That's awesome. I want more of that in my life, even past my limited thinking. I accept it by faith that he is the King of Kings. And he is a Father role. He protects and provides me for everything. And I'm still going to worship his Jesus' dad, Almighty Father. And somehow I want to see how he's the Almighty Father in my life too. I don't totally understand it, but by faith I am going to accept it. Finally, last but not least, and I think this one is really important for the season that we're in. for us personally and for everybody that's in our lives. He's called the Prince of Peace, which talks about total authority. The Prince is underneath the ultimate King, which would be Almighty Father. He's now the Prince with all authority to enforce peace in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds. In a regular, normal, average month, we all need more peace. Sometimes peace is pretty rare. But in the holiday season, peace is like an extinct animal sometimes. Oh, we think there was a sighting, but maybe not. Wasn't even it. Maybe it was just some calm for a minute. So if you have your Bible with you, would you turn with me, please, to John chapter 14? We're going to go to John 14. We'll start at verse 22. Remember, this chapter started out with Jesus saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Jesus, as the Prince of Peace, brought the most all-encompassing peace treaty ever throughout all history, and he signed it with his own blood. In John 14:22, Judas, the other Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I've spoken to you while being present with you." Verse 26, "But the helper," yours might say counselor, or it might say comforter. The same word can be used, all three are interchangeable. "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You've heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to my Father, for my Father's greater than I. And now I've told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I'll no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world's coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here." So this is one of the last conversations Jesus has with the disciples, and I just want to really focus in on verse 26 and 27. I put it in the context so you could see the bigger conversation and what's going on. But in verse 26, he says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now, some of these words in here, like it says manifest, he says, well, how are you going to show yourself to us? How are you going to manifest yourself? That literally means to exhibit or to appear or to declare. So when Jesus manifested himself to the disciples and to us, he's exhibiting the truth, he's appearing as truth, and he declares his truth to us. He says, I'll say my words to you. That's the Bible. And then the Holy Spirit's going to remind you of what I said. The Holy Spirit will bring these things and make it truth inside you. Many times when we're discouraged, it's because the Holy Spirit doesn't have much to remind us. Because we haven't been in the Word lately. We haven't been in the Word much. And if we have, we've kind of done our homework or done our assignment, done what we're supposed to do on our daily reading to be faithful Christians. But we didn't get that promise about the situation we're in right now, that scripture that we're trusting God for in the situation, and we're going to keep that thing with us. We're going to hold on to that thing. I'm going to write it down. I'll put it in my phone so I can call it up quick. I'll write it down, put it in my pocket. Whatever I got to do so I got that promise. If you do that, you'll be shocked how often during the day you won't need to pull that thing out. Because the Holy Spirit will come by and say, this is that scripture that you wrote down, and this is where I'm going to do it. And your faith will come up. And all of a sudden, the turmoil that you had inside you for that situation gets quieted because the Holy Spirit reminds you of what Jesus said. That's how simple that works. This is what Jesus is saying. So to manifest, we want Jesus declaring his truth to us, which he has, but it's going to take me to get in here and see what he says about depression. See what he says about when we die, where do we go? See what it says about forgiveness. See what it says about getting set free of offense or whatever it is. What are you struggling with? What are you believing for? Just go out and you don't even have to use this. Hey, Google, what's the Bible say about depression in the New Testament? There's 14 verses you can look up. Just read them until one of them, God will use one of them to go, oh, that's my verse. You bet, that's Jesus speaking to you through the power of the Holy Ghost. Write that bad boy down. Take it with you through the day because he's declaring his truth to you. As simple as that. Isaiah declared who Jesus would be. Here we see Jesus declaring who he is as the Prince of Peace, and we see him declaring his peace to us. This peace, the Greek word for this is kind of fun to say, arene. Hey, what's up? Oh, I got my arene going on. Yeah, okay. It's from two words. When Jesus used this word, or when Paul translated it, I should say, arene means peace and oneness together. So when Jesus said, my peace I give to you, he's literally saying, my peace I give to you with me. I'm linking me with you so that my peace I give to you. It's not just, here's my peace, I wrote it down as some stuff, good luck. He's like, no, I'm going to give you my peace because I'm going to walk with you through these things. I'm going to give you my peace. Arene. Man. Arene. He promises us a oneness with him that'll give us true peace. Not like the world gives. The world says, hey, you want some peace? Make sure your investments are good. Make sure you save up a bunch of money. Make sure you got some good insurance for all that health stuff. Make sure you're in the right neighborhood. Make sure this and that and this and that. Do you know peace? I've said this before, but this is really true. Listen to this. For us to have true peace, the way the world gives us, every situation and every circumstance in our life has to be good, and every other person on the planet has to be treating us right. It'll never happen. It'll never happen, let alone happen consistently so I can say I'm happy. If it happened, if it somehow lightning struck and it actually happened, it would be so brief, it'd be over before I could say it. Jesus said, I don't give you peace like that. I join with you. Me and my word and my love for you, I join with you so you can have peace, not like the world gives it to you. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Do you know those are not the same thing? Don't let your heart be troubled. In the original language says, put away agitation. Stop the water from boiling. Stop the boiling. Don't let your heart be troubled. Because what we'll do is we'll keep thinking about the problem rather than thinking about the promise. We'll think about the problem. We'll rehearse it. And if it gets worse, it's going to look like this. And then other people are going to get involved and they're going to say that. And then it's really worse. And then they're saying that. And it's just going to be more horrible. Pretty soon, your heart's boiling. You're troubled. You're agitated. Jesus says, don't let your heart. You're in control of your heart and what you think about. Don't let it happen to you. Stay focused on the words of God. Stay focused on what the Holy Spirit's declaring to you from the promises of the word. He says, neither be afraid, which is different than being so agitated. It's like it's boiling. He says, don't even be timidly afraid. Because sometimes we can go like, well, I'm not going to talk about that anymore. I'm not going to think about that anymore. I'm kind of in control here. Man, I got to be by that person later on today, and I don't know what they're going to say, and I'm not sure about next week, and about a year from now, I'm not. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let fear get in. If fear is messing with you, if you're afraid of something, if it's stressing you out, It's probably because you've believed a lie. And so ask Holy Spirit, what am I doing wrong here? What am I thinking wrong here? How have I gotten sidetracked on this? And what's the truth? And you'll be shocked at how often it'll be like, oh, yeah, I did think that person was really bad, and I don't even know that for sure. What? Oh, your word says that every man was made in your image, so there's got to be good in that person. It's your will that all people be saved, so you know what? They're in your image. They're by faith, they're a good person, and I know you want them saved, Lord. Would you please use me somehow to share the Christmas story with them in this season? He says the Holy Spirit will come and teach you all things. His peace comes to us by keeping his words and the Holy Spirit speaking those words to our spirit. Way more than just hearing something in your ear or in your intellect. When the Holy Spirit speaks the word of God, reminds you of the promise of the word of God, you'll actually feel your spirit leap. You'll get a jolt of faith. It's like, that's right, that's true. I don't have to be so worried. God's in control. God, I just love you. Thank you for speaking to me. Thank you, Lord. Amen? I know you guys know what I'm talking about here. We've all experienced this. It's a great time of year to remind ourselves of this wonderful counselor who speaks to us supernaturally using the Holy Ghost of God Almighty to bring us into his truth. Whew, man. The Holy Spirit reminds us of the words of Jesus, the promises of Jesus, and he comforts us supernaturally with those same words. I can comfort you, but it's not supernaturally. It's well-intentioned love that I'm really hoping will encourage you. But when the Holy Ghost encourages us, it's supernatural, and we end up with real spiritual power in us to overcome that situation. Whew. Talk about Christmas presents. Come on. The Holy Spirit counsels us with the very words of Jesus that we keep in our heart, so that I then can exhibit the peace of Jesus in my life. Wow. All right, so let's wrap this all up. Let's try to bring this to a close. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. In this Christmas season that we're in right now, in this Christ season, there's lots of babies in mangers. there really is. I used to have one in my yard and used to have one right here in front of the church. That's just for starters. All of us are going to get Christmas cards, if you haven't already, with a baby in the manger. You can go to Walmart, Myers, anywhere in the mall, and you can't hardly go maybe 100 feet without seeing a picture of the baby in the manger. People don't have a problem with the baby in the manger. What they got a problem with is the man on the cross. Amen? Jesus is the baby in the manger, but he's also the son that was given. I want to encourage us in this season that we're in now, and you see the babies in the manger, let's proclaim the son that was given over that person that put that out there. Whoever put that decoration in their yard or hung that picture or slogan or sent that card, Father, as they sent this picture of this cute baby, I pray that this would be the son that was given to them, that it'd be salvation to them and to their home. This is the most amazing time of year, and you guys know I say this every year, and it's true. This is the only time of year that I can go into Walmart and they're playing worship music. It's awesome. I can go into the mall, one of the most heathenistic, man-based, get-a-hold-of-your-emotions type place on the planet, and they'll be playing worship music this time of year. Somebody, probably not saved, made a decision to play worship music. Tell me my God ain't great. My God is awesome, and this is the time of year, outside of birth and death, this is the time of year where people are the most sensitive to the Spirit. Outside of when a baby's born and they lose a loved one, those are the two most where you can lead the lost to the Lord fairly easy. Outside of those two, the Christmas season. Because they're thinking about family, they're reminiscing, they're thinking about how they were raised. Their heart is a little bit closer to the surface right now. And so let's just get excited about the son that was given to us, about this wonderful Savior who literally wrote the peace treaty of eternity in his own blood for you and me. And for the person we're going to be talking to, by the way. This morning, I just want to invite all of us. I just want to ask us, do you feel like you're good with God right now? You don't have to nod. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to tell me anything. I just want, before we leave today, after I've said all that I've said about Jesus, one verse about Jesus, do you feel like you're close to him? Do you feel like you're healthy with him? Do you feel like, when you think about you and Jesus, is there anything in between there? Does it feel a little bit dirty? Does it feel clean and exciting? And you know where you're at more than anyone else between you and God and what's going on. And I want to invite you. I'm just going to say a simple prayer. You pray what's in your heart. Agree with me for whatever's in your heart. Because I want each one of you to enjoy this Christ season. I want you to be able to leave here today and just go, I got open heavens. I know God's listening to me. I don't have anything left on my conscience. I don't have to worry about anything else. And I want to walk in the peace of Jesus Christ, this Christ season. The peace that surpasses all understanding. Not like the peace like the world gives. This peace that Jesus promised, that he gave me, that he'll walk with me in. So I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to, at one point, I'll just pause. You pray to God in your heart. Because this isn't about the person next to you knowing something or your pastor knowing something. This is about you making sure that there's absolutely nothing in between you and God Almighty. So here we go. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you that the truth about Jesus Christ, your Son, whom you gave to us, and I believe that it was full of joy in heaven when Jesus came on the day he was born as a human being, even before that when he was conceived in Mary, Lord, I believe that joy filled all of heaven. I don't think you ever felt like salvation was a bill that you had to pay to try to fix things. I think salvation, your gift of salvation to us through your Son Jesus Christ, was one of the happiest instants in all creation. I think heaven threw the biggest party the day Jesus was born as a human being, only to be eclipsed by Resurrection Sunday. And so, Lord, I lift up all your sons and daughters, the ones that are here today in this building, the ones that are listening maybe on the radio, the ones that might listen later on the internet. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would defeat the works of the enemy in their lives, whether that's discouragement or depression, whether that's a broken heart, whether that's an offense or anger or bitterness, whether that's a sickness of soul, spirit, or body, Lord, I pray that you would demolish and defeat that right now in Jesus' name. Father, I'm going to pause for a moment, and I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would stir hearts with anything you want to talk to them about. Between you and them, would you touch what needs to be touched? If everything's good, would you just fill them up? Fill them up to overflowing. But I just pray that this morning be a fresh start for this holiday season, that we would be filled with awe and wonder of Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, as we get ready to leave today, I pray that you would help each one of us to remember that the authority of Jesus is on us. We are the body of Christ, and we have been authorized with real power and authority to go and make disciples right here and right now. And Father, would you help us that as we're talking to people, no matter who we're talking to or when that is, would you help us to have a sense of divine appointments, that it's not a situation or a coincidence that just happened to happen, but that this person is next to us because you want us to tell them about the hope that's within us. Would you please do that, Lord? Help us to represent you well and to bring you glory. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless each one of you. We'll have coffee right across the foyer, so love to be able to talk with you a bit. God bless you, and